Naturopathic physician in the United States. He has a company, Ayush Herbs, in Bellevue, Washington, outside of Seattle, which has won a lot of awards for innovation and contributions to Ayurvedic concepts. And we're going to be talking about his new book, which is called Ayurvedic Herbs, the Comprehensive Resource for Ayurvedic Healing Solutions. We talked last program, we did a show about the concepts of Ayurveda and things like that. And we'll, of course, reiterate some of those in the beginning of the show. But then we want to get right into the herbs and the materia medica and spend much more time on some of these wonderful plants, which the ancient Indian tradition has brought into the fold of healing for those that know about it. Most medical doctors have no clue about these plants. And if they do, they trust websites that say that they're toxic and you shouldn't take them with drugs and they're full of side effects and things like that. So we're here to give you information that you can trust and count on right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. So a couple announcements. We have our Gilberti's Herbal Fun Shop coming up, and that's going to be September 13th. And for those that live in Connecticut or around Connecticut, they can join us, and that's where we will make medicines. We'll identify hundreds of medicines in the wild and not so wild places, talk about the folklore, history, scientific components, and a little bit of how to use the herbs. Then we'll gather the herbs, and then using the naturopathic principles of formulation, we'll go over that. We're going to construct medicines, and you will leave the workshop with certain medicines. You'll leave with a excellent cough medicine. You'll leave with an excellent salve for skin problems, a healing salve. You'll leave with several other projects. And then on October 4th is our last of our Chinatown walks for 2015. And so this is a very interesting trip into Chinatown to explore the culture and philosophy, and actually visit a lot of the apothecaries in Chinatown, New York City. So this is an exciting tour, cultural tour of Chinatown. It starts at 11 a.m. So for further information on all these, what we call fun shops, because when we're talking about herbs, we're having fun. It's not even work. Even though it is work, it's like fun. You can go to www.naturalnurse.com and check Dr. Kamai's website for the calendar. So, without further ado, we want to have Dr. Sodhi come in and join the conversation. Dr. Sodhi, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you doing, Dr. Z?
Hey, it's been a while. Enjoying the summer out there? I hear it's Washington's very hot and dry this time, huh?
Yeah, we have turned into California here, man.
Yeah, so that would be an Ayurvedic too much pitta energy?
That's right.
Too much fire energy?
Pitta. Exactly.
So how are people staying balanced with pitta? Because a pitta is the fire energy. It's associated with anger and too much heat and other dry, some dryness. I guess if there's too much heat, you get dry.
That's right.
What are people doing, and why do people get angry when there's too much pitta?
So basically, this is a very good question. What we are, we actually basically bundle of energies, and that's what the Indian Ayurvedic medicine and Chinese medicine have realized for centuries, that we are just bunch of energy molecules, and they goes from very lighter to the heaviest energy molecules. So in Ayurvedic medicine, we have the ether, the lightest energy molecule, then air, which is more heavier than ether, then fire, which is more heavier than air and water and the earth. So these elements, basically govern us. So whenever there is these elements in the Mother Nature changes, those also disturb our elements in the body.
Mm.
So when there is a more fire element outside, it also actually aggravates increases the fire element in us, and which leads to anger, frustration, fighting, fires, you know, like we have lots of wildfires in the area.
Yeah.
And so what it does also stimulate diseases like ulcers and ulcerative colitis and gastritis and also the liver get, you know, damaged. So to stay healthy in this kind of season, the Ayurvedic principles tell you heat is hot, fire is hot. So what you do want to do some cooling. And as you already said, when you have too much heat, it dehydrates you. So you stay hydrated. You have more fluids. You drink more fluid like water, which is natural and available. Coconut water is another very phenomenally good remedy. You know, back home, people used to make lime or lemon soda kind of drink, which is called lemonade here. But in India, it's called shikanjimi, which is basically a water and salt and a little bit of sugar and lime or lemon. And it tastes very well. So this is the basically what you need to do, and eat lots of fresh vegetables, which has a lot of hydration in it and has also anti-fire, excessive fire you know, cutting properties in them.
Well, that's a great explanation of that. Now, on the emotional level, before we actually launch into the herbs, and you could certainly segue and talk about any herbs that seems to affect the emotions, are there any herbs that seem to make people less angry, or is it the other practices in Ayurveda, the spiritual counseling, the lifestyle counseling, the mantras and things like that, the sacred sounds? Is that what actually changes the patient and balances their doshas, their constitution?
You know, again, it's a very good question. A lot of time my patients ask me, Dr. Sodhi, I'm taking this drug, and what herb you have for that to, instead of switching to the herb? But, you know, body is a whole ecosystem. It's not one thing. And so a lot of my even naturopathic colleague does that mistake too. They're trying to substitute a drug for a herb and not focusing on the other aspect of the mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. Yes, there are herbs like ashwagandha will do phenomenally good. In studies, it has shown that it lowers cortisol level by 30%.
Wow.
And in my personal experience, whenever people are very stressed out, angry, frustrated, or they're anxious even, when we give them ashwagandha, it calms them down. But there are other herbs like Bacopa monnieri, Centaur asiatica, neem, all have anti-anxiety, anti-frustration effect. And, you know, from naturopathic medicine and from the British pharmacopoeia of herbal medicine and the German monograms, we know that bitters are cooling herbs, you know. So those bitters have a better effect on cooling the pitta kind of constitution when you're very frustrated, very angry. And you might have seen in your patient people who has liver diseases like hepatitis A or B or C or other hepatitis. These people are very frustrated. They're angry. They have short temper. Their fuses are short, and they get burst out very quickly. And similarly, when people drink excessive alcohol, they have the similar kind of behaviors because the alcohol disturbs your liver. Liver is the seat of anger and the fire, and here you go. You actually studied a down way cascade of the inflammation in your body, and you got the results out of that one. So yes,
so they
there
may
are
be,
herbs,
so,
but
so
it's
they
the
may
whole
be drinking,
science. You know.
Go ahead.
What is that?
I was going to say they may be drinking the alcohol to help them manage
calm
their
down.
Stress,
yeah.
But it doesn't do that then.
No, it does not, because what it does, it temporarily, you know, has that euphoric effect, and then after that, you have an effect which is a bad, because, you know, even drinking one glass of wine will knock your mitochondria off the liver for 2 hours, and now you have the liver which is kind of non-functioning. So, yes, once in a while ceremony, actually we wrote an article on that one too. We dig out a lot of research, and it's not shown that it is the best thing to do, especially when you're stressed out. And a lot of people, you know, booze out to just get out of that facing the problem rather than dealing with the problem. They want to bail out of that one.
Now, I noticed that asparagus is an Ayurvedic herb. Is that the same asparagus that Westerners eat when we eat the vegetable, Dr. Sodhi?
No. That's a different, very different plant. It's asparagus racemosus. And so it is actually a vine, and the roots of this plant is used. And the roots are like almost like a carrot sticks and longer. And they are dug out, and they are actually rhizomes. And once you are, you know, putting into medicine, it has a phenomenally good properties because, actually, you know, the satavar is a Sanskrit name, and the sata mean 100, var mean husband, or another word, it's also another translation is sat mean 100, var mean blessings. So Ayurvedically, actually I wrote in my book is that it enhances the female sexuality, and also because the blessings mean they can have more kids, so it makes them more fertile, and also it has phenomenally good properties on the whole, the breast system and the uterus and all the lymphatic system on the gut. It actually shown to increase the gut mucus and make it, you know, more stronger, and the secretory IgA and all those things which are very helpful for the whole body.
So you can mix it with like DGL for ulcers. So this would be, could you use it for pitta if you're having gastritis then?
Exactly. Yes, DGL will be combination with asparagus will be phenomenally. I do it all the time in my
community. See, I'm catching on.
Yes. And, you know, I use it for even Helicobacter pylori. Because one of the properties of that, it increases secretion and the viscosity of the mucus. And what it does, it actually strengthens the mucosal barrier. And so one of the test which we do is a hydrogen test, you know, for the bacteria, when we have SIBO, the small intestinal bacteria overgrowth. And so what it does, actually, it blocks those things and will actually take care of SIBO. So it's really phenomenally good, you know, thing for the GI tract, the whole GI tract.
Interesting. Yeah, I like that one. That's something that we need. What about this very interesting plant that I've been hearing a lot of, which the Spanish call chanca piedra, which means breaker of the stones. In India, I guess they call it the Phyllanthus species, the amaris and the emblica.
Yes.
Tell us about those particular herbs.
You know, actually, there are lots of stone breaker in Ayurvedic herbs. And the kidney stones and bladder stones. I have actually long-standing patient loads here who has, you know, people who go on developing kidney stones, they go on developing kidney stones and kind of rest because it's a kind of metabolic disease. So they have to change their eating pattern and the gut flora, because there are gut flora which is kind of making more calcium oxalate or uric acid or even the phosphates, which is not being processed out by the kidneys. So, yes, Phyllanthus amaranth is a very phenomenally good herb for breaking the kidney stone. And but there is also other, you know, one of them we actually call Pathar Phod. Pathar means stone. Phod means actually same thing like in Spanish. Phod means to break.
Yes, isn't that interesting? Chanca piedra is the name in Spanish,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, piedra is actually, again, a Sanskrit word. Petra means the stone. So
Petra means the stone,
So the Sanskrit as the mother language of all the languages. So you can see roots all over the, you know, all over the different languages.
Wow.
So, you know, I give this herbs for kidney patients, and they don't develop. And a lot of interesting stories. One of the patients came to me, and many years ago, I was just brand new in practice in Seattle, in Bellevue area, and one goldsmith came to me and says, "God, you know, I have this kidney stones, and my kidneys are filled with it, and I've been told that I can get lithotripsy, but that costs around $20,000. I don't have that much money to get it done. And so do you have anything for it?" So I gave him, we have a combination of herbs called Rentone. I gave him, this says, okay, you know, you go on taking it, drink lots of water, avoid spinach and calcium oxalate kind of food and tomato and all those kind of stuff, you know, our beautiful naturopathic and Ayurvedic science knowledge there, and drink lots of fluid to flush, keep flushing. And then I didn't see him, you know. I was just, you know, once I saw, I said, my God, maybe he didn't got better. You know, that's how it happens. And one day I was traveling at the airport, and he was in front of me. He says, hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm wonderfully good. I said, didn't you have the kidney stone? And he started pulling something out of his, you know, neck. And I said, what he's doing? So he's a jeweler, you know, he's a goldsmith. And he brings out a nice garland. And I said, do you see this? I said, yes, I see it. I said, what is this? So these are my kidney stones. I passed around 90 of them.
He made a jewelry out of it.
Yeah, I made, polished them, oh, I grinded them, and made a jewelry out of it. So that was the funniest experience I ever have in life. You know?
Wow. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, I heard that this herb is very important for, well, let me backtrack. You know, hepatitis C is very damaging to the liver, and the interferon treatment and some of the medications can cost up to $100,000 for treatment. It's just mind-blowing. And then
that's right.
I read in
your
book
$162,000 for the latest drug which they have now.
Yeah. And I read in your book that the Phylanthus has been proven scientifically in studies to help that.
That's right. You know, I have more than 150 patients which have been following for many years, and I wish there had been more. Actually, we did a small study back in India, too. We took around 20 patients with hepatitis C, and what I did, I actually, interferon, as you know, is not very effective in converting these patients to negative.
Right.
And then they had a combination with ribavirin, and now there is a drug called Sobosuvir, which is a special blocker of the I forgot that special molecular marker there right now.
Yeah, one of the viral proteins. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Viral protein, and yeah. It blocks it. And but basically, Phyllanthus amarus does the same thing without the toxicity and the cost of it. And
wow.
So when we combined the patient with interferon, 70% of patient became negative. And they stayed negative. And in my clinic, a patient who has taken the ribavirin and the interferon treatment and from the my allopathic colleagues and combined with the this Phyllanthus amarus, which is a Livit 1 and Livit 2, another combination, and they have stayed negative. But people who did not opted out for doing, the interferon treatment, and their viral load has stayed below 300,000, and they are pretty darn healthy. Actually, just a few days ago, I saw a patient who has been my patient for 20-some years with hepatitis C, and says, you know, are you considering for this new treatment? They said, yeah, I went there, and they did biopsy of my liver, and they said, God, your liver is so good, we don't need to do anything. So I said, I said, hallelujah, Dr. Sodhi, because, you know, my liver is in good shape for the last 20 years with this Ayurvedic herbs, and I don't have to be on this drug because, you know, you can't make it better than that one.
So it seems to be more, even more potent than milk thistle, which is pretty popular. People know about milk thistle pretty much.
That's right. Yeah, milk thistle is phenomenally good, and I use it sometime, but, you know, you don't use as much because the Ayurvedic medicine, I think, has a pretty good storehouse of these Ayurvedic herbs, which has phenomenally good properties on the liver. And so, yeah, it works better than that. In my clinic, you know, all my liver patients get phenomenally good results. And in another thing, Dr. Z, I want to tell you, with hepatitis B, people become negative. So I have so many patients with hepatitis B, which actually become negative with the Phyllanthus amarus. So, which is, again, very powerful, you know, and people who develop hepatitis B, they don't convert, 30% of them, they stay positive. If you are young as a child, 90%, they actually become, they develop antibodies, so they don't have any problem. But as an adult, they don't, and 30% people will carry on the hepatitis B as a carrier, and which is, you know, they can infect other people and then also has a problem with themselves too.
Hey, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Dr. Virender Sodhi. He's the first Ayurvedic and board-certified licensed naturopathic doctor in the U.S., and he's the author of this great book, Ayurvedic Herbs, the Comprehensive Resource for Ayurvedic Healing Solutions. And we're talking about some of these herbs that you may not have ever heard of before, but have been used in India for literally thousands and thousands of years and have a tremendous, not only scientific basis, which I think is very, demonstrated in Dr. Sodhi's book with many, many scientific references, which I've kind of went online and looked at some of these things and really fascinating. And so those who say that Ayurvedic medicine and naturopathic medicine is kind of voodoo science and there's nothing scientific about it really, really are misinformed and just have to spend time reading and going through the scientific literature. I think that's the drug companies brainwashing people because they don't want people to know about these Ayurvedic herbs, Dr. Sodhi.
Yeah, no, you what you said is so true because a lot of times, you know, that's how I wrote this book because when he came to say, oh, this Ayurvedic medicine, you know, these all medicines, they didn't have any value. That's why we discarded them. And I said, no, you're not right. You know, you're doing wrong because you don't understand. And a lot of time people didn't understand. Like, you know, I think when you went through the school, a patient will come with the rheumatoid arthritis, and they will say, okay, here is the methotrexate, and here is the Remicade or Embrel, and there's no nutritional guidelines. And Ayurvedic medicine emphasizes heavily on nutrition guidelines, and the also on the mind and the emotions. And a lot of these people are very frustrated people when these people get these kind of diseases. So if you're not working with it, and you see the result, you know, you see the if we have eradicated rheumatoid arthritis with all these TNF-alpha blockers, we actually have created more problems because 60% people who are on these drugs for long term, more than 5 years, will get Hodgkin's or non-Hodgkin's lymphomas and other types of cancer. So we actually created more problem. So I think, you know, people need to understand this is not only herb or drug will take care of it. They also have to take responsibility. They have to eat right and they have to do the normal basic exercises, which the animals do, or they breathe now normally when they go out, which is a wonderful detoxifier of the body. And, you know, they actually in the Mother Nature, which actually has a phenomenally good healing properties. I think you may be aware of that research which was done out of Japan, where when people walked into the jungle, the immune system, you know, got 40% improved, and it stayed up to 7 days after just one walk in the jungle. So I think we are going away from our roots, and when we go away from our roots, we're going to have a lot more issues.
Yeah, people are so busy that they don't take time to do that. A lot of times I'll have patients, you know, keep a time log, and then I'll find maybe on their drive home they could pull into a park and watch the sunset for a while, you know, reset the melatonin or do something. Just take 5 minutes sitting near a waterfall. If we're in the city, what would you recommend for someone in the city? Like
you know,
in New York,
think,
we have a lot of New Yorkers listening to us now.
Yes. You know, even New York, and as you mentioned, we have wonderful parks all over. And there is many ways, you know, you can go in the park and you can spend some time there. And the morning and evening are the very important times because we are actually going into transition. The rhythms are changing. The circadian rhythms are changing. And so there is a switch. And also, you know, playing with the colleagues or with the kids or having some laughter is a phenomenally good medicine. Just, you know, and most of us, we are so occupied in our laptops and our PDAs and our phone that, you know, if you're traveling in a train, nobody's talking to each other. Everybody is just doing tick, tick, tick on their own phone system or pads, which is not good because we are social animals. You know, we need to interact, and we actually, when we interact, we actually let go the stress.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good... I worry about the next generation with that whole concept there.
Yeah,
that's for
exactly.
Sure.
And, you know, especially you can do breathing, simple. The breathing is such a wonderful calming exercise. A lot of times, again, same thing with my patients. God, I don't have a time. I said, even when you're driving, just breathe. Be aware of the breath. Take a deep breath in.
I've heard that the mind follows the breath. What does that mean in Ayurvedic medicine?
So basically, you know, the breath in Ayurvedic medicine is called prana. Prana literally means your life force. So if you don't breathe, we all dead. You know, people start calling 911 immediately. So, but most of us, we live in boxes. You know, coming from India, I grew up in the mountains of Himachal Pradesh, and it's a very mountainous in Himalayan state. And our houses were not airtight, you know, like living in Washington and on the energy efficient houses, we have made them human deficient. So there is no fresh air coming into us. So most of us are breathing maybe less than 40-50%. So the breath is the most important way of helping the whole system, oxygenate the whole system. And, you know, there is lots of studies on hyperbaric oxygen chambers and breath exercises and how it changes, transforms the genomic behaviors. And there is tons of material available, even in patients with cancer, Alzheimer's, diabetes, and you name it, hypertension. Like in my clinic, when people come with hypertension, I make them do just alternate nostril breathing for 10 minutes, and their blood pressure will drop 15 points on the systolic and 15 points on diastolic. And they say, wow, I can't believe it. So, okay, test it for yourself. And when they do it, says, wow, yes. So then, you know, most of the people who are on antihypertensive drugs, they are in the moderate hypertensive patient, and their blood pressure are in the 150s to 90s range. If you drop that one to 130, you know, you are in normal range already. So you don't need to be drugged, and we have lots of side effects. So I think we are not doing what we should be doing, breathe normally, drink water, eat the fresh fruits and vegetables, stay in the Mother Nature, spend some quality time with our family and friends. And all these studies, which is done on the people who are 120, like one book is Blue Zones, and Dr. Oz and Oprah Winfrey did the program on that, I think you must have watched. And this was the key of all the people who are centenarians and living longer and healthier.
Yeah, very good point there. So if someone has, let's go back to the rheumatoid arthritis, because we see a lot of that in my center. Of course, myself and the natural nurse wrote a book on that, arthritis, and, you know, sort of have... It's interesting that the naturopathic approaches with detoxification and getting rid of the... opening up the homunctories and improving the composition of blood and lymph that Dr. Linlar talked about in the old naturopathic philosophy, a lot of that's taken from Ayurvedic medicine, even though I can't find any references. You know, I teach philosophy at the naturopathic school at Bridgeport, right, which I started back in 97. So, but I can't find that they actually read the Ayurvedic books, but I suspect they did somewhere, you know?
Yeah,
so that's
actually,
called,
you know,
that's called Panchakarma, right? That's like a detoxification program?
Exactly. So, basically, if the... the rheumatoid arthritis kind of diseases are called ama. Ama means when you're not digesting your food properly and you are making more toxin stuff and they are circulating in your system. So coming back to the same kind of philosophy there. Mm. And now we are finding that the genomic of the gut is changed and people are making more inflammatory molecules, and these are actually getting settled in your small joints where there is a less circulation, and you are actually not able to move them, and you develop arthritis or rheumatoid arthritis, or almost all inflammatory disease has a similar kind of mechanism. So you see that, you know, TNF-alpha blockers are using for the rheumatoid arthritis, psoriasis, and any kind of those inflammatory kind of diseases. So basically, what the Ayurvedic model says is, you know, you need to improve the digestive system because it starts in your digestion. And which is coming back to the same genomic model, the 90% of the genome in the humans are borrowed from the bacteria. So when the bad kind of bacteria are overgrown, they are going to make more toxic stuff, which is not eco-friendly, and we are going to circulate, and now they're going to stuck in our blood and the lymph system, and we're going to have problems. So in Ayurvedic medicine, we say, okay, we need to detoxify you. So we do the special treatment, which is called Panchakarma. Panch means five, karma means processes. And so there is a preparation. So there is a three phases to it. First, you do the preparation, because you know you cannot make anybody detoxify unless you prepare.
Yeah, so, makes sense. Yeah, so, makes sense.
Exactly. So basically what we do a oleation treatment. What that means is you are taking oils internally. And the if you look at the oils are very different kind of anti-inflammatory molecules. And they have a different composition, like monounsaturated are different than the polyunsaturated oil, the saturated fat. And the different oils has a different properties. So in Ayurvedic medicine, we use these different oils internally. And the oils are very wonderful fat-soluble stuff which binds onto the toxic materials in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And the studies have shown when the oils are applied inside and outside in the body, when you actually eat it and you apply, like in the massage oils, you are actually lowering the burden of the toxic material up to 60% in as soon as in a couple of weeks. And so you do that, and then we put into a specialized saunas, which is actually, as you know, the saunas has become very popular, but this is an Ayurvedic tradition. So now what you're doing, you're actually stirring up the toxic load and then you're sweating them out. So now you're preparing the body to detoxify. And then after that, there was five processes. One of them was vomiting. And if you look at the Mother Nature, when you get a bug, you know, you got a virus or bacteria, people are nauseated. They throw up. Mm-hmm. They usually have a diarrhea. And they get a sweating and that high temperature. So actually we're mimicking the Mother Nature's ways of detoxifying the body. So what I did when I came to America, the vomiting, people don't like that. So I changed that to the fasting. Fasting is, you know, more people knew about it. There is a Christian traditions and many different religions have the fasting tradition. So I do kind of modified fasting. And then after fasting, you do the purging. In the purging, you're actually cleaning out the small intestine area. So then after that, you know, what we do more massages and saunas type of treatment. And in the end, we do the enemas or colonic treatment. And in Ayurvedic medicine, we have two kinds of enemas. One is called the cleansing. So first you're cleaning out the garbage from the intestine and then restoring the function of the bacteria and the colon back. So in that one, we put like probiotic solutions. We put the food for the good bacteria. Like, for example, we use the ghee, which is basically a melted butter. And the ghee has butyric acid in it. And that's why it got the name butter. And the sesame oil has a propionic acid. The olive oil has oleic acid. So all these different oils has these different acids in them. And they are the food for the good bacteria. And now your body is kind of making those good bacteria and changing the ecosystem internally. And the end result is that I have so many patients which is not taking all those TNF blocker for 20 years, 15 years. They are in remission. And, you know, when people are these on TNF blocker, they are on these drugs for the rest of their lives. And combined with anti-inflammatory herbs like turmeric or curcuminoids, boswellia, yeah, Google, ashwagandha, they are completely out of inflammation and they're just going by living their life normally without the fear of arthritis.
Hmm. So fascinating, yeah. And then that also becomes, you know, I found that a lot of people with arthritis, their hormones are very low, Dr. Sodhi, and probably what's happening is they don't have the oils to build the adrenal hormones, which usually are put out inflammation. So if they don't have the oils, they can't build the hormones, and that is somewhat related to their inflammation. What do you think about that?
Yeah, actually, you know, what very nice point you brought out, because, you know, we have created such a cholesterol phobia in our culture that cholesterol is so bad. But if you look at it on the stereogenic pathways, cholesterol is the beginning break of all the hormones.
Yeah.
Body makes 3,000 milligram of cholesterol every day. And there is a reason for that. You know, body is not crazy. Body is not, you know, we have not been designed that way that we should make a bad stuff for our body. And so when we are, you know, eating low fat or not eating healthy fats and then we're eating a lot of sugar, Are we given the statin drugs, which has proven nothing? You know, I don't see good published data on it that at the most it has shown 1.5% improvement and with lots of toxic effect. So I think we have created this anti-phobia on the cholesterol, which has actually harmed us in many different ways. And maybe one of these is the arthritis, because if you know, a lot of people with the on statins, they get lots of leg pains and body aches too. And rhabdomyolysis is one of the extreme toxic stuff. But you're right, you know, these we are creating more problems. And on top of that, these people have 46% chances of getting more diabetes. So I don't know if we are solving the problem or making the problem more worse. Right. Because once we are more diabetic now, we are four times getting more heart attack. And diabetes is another channel where our culture and the world actually is just heading into a wrong direction.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. Get a drink of tea, maybe some Tulsi tea. We could talk about Tulsi and things like that, and let the listeners also grab some tea. When we return in a few minutes, we'll come back and talk about a whole bunch of other herbs with Dr. Sodhi, who's the author of Ayurvedic Herbs, the comprehensive resource for Ayurvedic healing solutions. Stay with us right here at Progressive Radio.
Host of The Vinyl Experience, and you're listening to PRN, your source for the best in progressive conversation, news, and entertainment.
The story behind the story, your story, my story, it's all in the mix on Lead Stories right here on PRN.FM. This is Utrice Lead inviting you to share your thoughts and opinions and expand your knowledge about critical issues of the day, Monday through Friday, right after Gary Null's show. Listen live to a broadcast or get Lead Stories whenever you want from PRN's archive. You can even rate the show on iTunes. Now pass the word. Tell this story to everyone you know. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Stay tuned to PRN, your source for the best in progressive radio.
Okay, and we're back with more with Dr. Sodhi, and I'm Dr. Eugene Zampro, naturopathic physician, herbalist, and host for this. Dr. Kamai has the day off, and we're talking about very interesting botanicals, that's for sure, and Ayurvedic concepts. It's just a fascinating branch of medicine that, you know, we should take advantage of. Now, we see a lot of people in the office, Dr. Sodhi. Welcome back. And we see a lot of people with osteoarthritis, which is a little bit different from rheumatoid arthritis. What's the Ayurvedic idea behind this kind of thing that, you know, 80 million people develop, their joints kind of wear out, and they got to get artificial knees and hips and all kinds of things like that? What can Ayurvedic medicine do for that?
So, you know, this is a very good concept, Ayurvedic concept, whereas the rheumatoid arthritis is a disease where the toxins get stuck in the joints. The osteoarthritis is a disease of degeneration and the nutrient deficiencies. So now your cartilage is not renewing. As you know, the aminoglycan system in the body, which is the renew your cartilage, and it body is all the joints has that system set in there.
Right.
And with a lot of the way we eat food and the way we have obesity, we are not actually revitalizing that system very well. So, again, the Ayurvedic system tells, okay, if your digestive system is not happy, you're not supplying the nutrient to every cell of the body. So you start with the digestion again. But now we are adding again the nutrient, which has a phenomenally good effect. And the nutrients are like oils. And like, you know, in the naturopathic medicine, we give flaxseed oil. But there are so many different things, nuts and seeds, which has phenomenally good oils, which will help with the lubrication. And we have herbs like the turmeric or curcuminoid, which has a phenomenally good effect on the absorption and the toxicity removal effect and regeneration. Boswellia actually has shown to improve the aminoglycan synthesis in the joints. Mm. If you take ibuprofen, which is a very common drug for the osteoarthritis to take, basically Tylenol, ibuprofen actually destroy your aminoglycan synthesis, so it stops it. Whereas ginger, boswellia, turmeric, and the triphala, which is a combination of three herbs, that are shown in the studies that it actually aids into the aminoglycan synthesis. So you're making your joint healthier on a long-term basis. You're not wearing it out. So, again, I think osteoarthritis, if you look at it, we have credit to ourselves. In the Mother Nature, if you have osteoarthritis, you'll be dead in a few seconds, you know, because the animals of prey will just get you. So,
yeah.
But I think this is the mankind's own invention, because we developed it by the way we eat it and our lifestyle. You know, we are either lazy or even people who are excessive exercise will get it too, because they are burning their joint. And people who are not exercising, they are actually not getting the nutrient. So I think there is a need to be balanced. And the Ayurvedic medicine is the science of balance. We cannot go either extreme. We have to stay in between there.
Well, you know, cartilage is made up of, like you said, the proteoglycans, but then it also is made up of collagen. You know,
that's
collagen,
right,
is a protein, so you have the combination. It's like it's like an equation. Cartilage equals the glycosaminoglycans or proteoglycans, which are kind of like you mentioned, the fluid, the slippery type of things, the thing that allows the substance that allows the joints to glide back and forth without much friction. But then you have the collagen, which is made out of very important structural proteins, Dr. Sodhi. You have proline, lysine, glycine, and those are supposed to be extracted from eating protein. But I'll be damned that when I check someone with osteoarthritis, oftentimes they're eating plenty of protein, but when I run their amino acid profiles, it's almost like they live in a developing country and they're starving of protein and they have bloated bellies like the old kwashiorkor that we learned in school, marasmus and those things like that. So clearly they're not extracting the proteins from their food to renew their bodies. I totally agree with that. I see that even in a Western studies, that Ayurvedic was right on the money with that one.
Yeah, you know, as you said, the collagen is the largest abundant protein in the body. Around 70% of the body has that collagen stuff there. So it's, yes, very important. But again, the process starts in your digestive tract, you know, where you're absorbing, extracting. If that unit is not working properly, you can eat all the protein. And actually, that's what I explain to my patients. You know, you have big holes in your intestine. They're not going where they're supposed to go. Now you can eat all the food you want to, but it's not doing the work it's supposed to do. So there's a gut ecology, is a lot of stuff to it. You know, we talked about the enzymes there. We have the good bacteria there. There is a absorption surfaces. So I think with the drug-happy people and the drug companies forcing all those things on us in the advertisement, you take a Tylenol, you know, your pain is going to be off. Now you're damaging your liver, you're damaging your gut bacteria, you're damaging your surface of absorption, and on top of that, you got two martini on, and then you had two soda pop, and then Kentucky Fried Chicken. You got enough protein, but that's also charred protein, which has more toxic stuff built up, which is Mother Nature never designed that way. You know, we don't see frying pans on the trees. So
that's funny. I like that. No frying pans on the tree. I'm going to use that one. I borrowed that one. That's great. So what do you do to stimulate digestion, those bitters? And which of the herbs in your book are very bitter that you would recommend patients eat to restore their digestive thing? Also, what about chewing and How do you teach people to eat in Ayurveda? A lot of people, they eat so quickly that they're finished before their brain even realizes that they're that they've eaten things.
Yeah, actually, you know, again, what I call it a grandma simple rules. You know, you eat, you know, I think even all the cultures have talked about when you're eating, sit down, don't eat. You know, that's what the grandma used to tell me. So eat down and calm down, you know, don't get distracted. Chew your food, you know. One of the saying my grandma used to tell me, you have 32 teeth. So you have to chew your food 32 times.
Wow, and, I like that. That's excellent.
Yeah, try to do that 32 times. You know, by the time you put the bread in your mouth, the bread start melting in your mouth and you start seeing the sweetness of the bread in your mouth.
Right.
And, you know, if you're looking in your at your poop, which is, you know, in Ayurvedic medicine, we talk about poop a lot, and say, what shape is it? What color is it? And a lot of time people just laugh the gut out of it and ask these questions. Does it float or sink in the toilet? Do you see anything unusual in your stool? And you know, the one of the funniest answer I got, I don't look at it. I don't know what my poop looks like.
I just flush it down and just let it go, yeah.
Exactly. And you know, the funny thing is, which I actually teased them, I said, you know, that's a part of you. As long as it was inside you, you were okay with it. When it comes out of you, you're not okay. You don't want to be attached with it anymore.
That's very interesting.
You said, no,
like
that's not my poop anymore.
Yeah. Okay,
so,
I like
basically,
that.
You know, you're looking at to improve that. So why I'm asking this question is you're looking at the absorption. If you eat the, you know, a spinach and it came out as a leaf outside your other end, that means you're not digesting properly. So the herbs, which are simple herbs, which actually helps to improve the digestion, are ginger. Ginger is one of my favorite things.
But that's
black
not bitter.
Pepper,
but the ginger's not bitter, Dr. Sodhi. It's more hot and spicy.
It's more hot. You know, but, you know, the bitter herbs, you know, like the turmeric is a wonderful bitter herb. But, you know, what I'm saying is because ginger, why we use it, because it has the enzyme-enhancing properties in Ayurvedic medicine. We call the process called deepan. Deepan means to stimulate the digestive juices. And then we have a pachan, which is for digestion. So first we are stimulating the juices. And when we stimulate the juices, so we're using herbs like pepper, long pepper, ginger. And when we are digesting, then we're using different sets of herbs, which are bitter herbs. So the bitter herbs, almost all liver herbs are bitter. For example, Tinosporia cardifolia, which is a phenomenally good liver herb, Solanum nigrum, Philanthus, milk thistle will be another example of that one. But we have also bitter plants, you know, like kale, chard, which when you chew them properly, you get the similar kind of benefits with them too.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want really good one, you have a dandelion for that too. So all these, you know, there's a combination of things which you can use to help the whole stuff there. But it's you have to sit down, you have to calm down, you have to chew your food, and you have to understand what is given to you by the Mother Nature as a gift, and you have to accept it. Then, you know, your digestion also changes. A lot of times when you're angry and you're eating food, your food does not digest. It just sits in your tummy because you're not calmed down enough. So you have to bring all the aspects of healing into the food. And the Ayurvedic medicine actually has a very phenomenally good saying. It says, An Brahma, food is God. Actually, I just did a lecture on the yoga day, and that was my topic, the food is God.
Wow.
And so how you cook it, how you prepare it, how you eat it, how you, if you are really connected with the Mother Nature, then you are digesting it properly. So I think we are doing so many things wrong, and but you start the basic steps. You know, what you alluded to is chew your food, eat the fresh food. You know, the blessing, you know, in any culture, from Christian to Hindu to Muslim to sitting down and seeking for blessing is very common. Because when we are connected with that at that level, at spiritual level, the understanding of the food and the food digest differently in our system.
Now, vitamin C is very important to assimilate, to help to build the collagen. Because remember, so we're working on the digestive system. So now the patient is hopefully assimilating things more. You know, but they're in order to build collagen. You know, we know from a Western perspective, nutritional perspective, that we need certain cofactors which help the proline become hydroxyproline and the lysine become hydroxylysine. Now, I don't know, I guess in Ayurvedic, so ancient that they really didn't focus on those particular molecules, but they probably knew about using embola, which is part of the, has one of the highest vitamin C's of any plant known.
Yes. Yeah, actually, you know, the as we were talking about the bitters, and we have a very phenomenal combination, which is called triphala. And triphala is a combination of amla and the haritaki, which is another bitter herb, and bibhitak, which is another. So they are the embolica officinalis, terminalia tubula, and terminalia balearica. So these are really, you know, basic Ayurvedic herbs. But as you alluded already, the amla has shown in the research to help all those proline and lysine and the collagen synthesis. So I think, you know, a lot of those knowledge was not explained in the terminology of the science which we understand today, but basically they were doing phenomenally good work, and they had a different way of understanding. They looked at into more of the energetic molecules and how these tissues will be nourished and how the different elimination processes are nourished. Because, you know, the poop is eliminative stuff, but it is also the one of the biggest reservoir of the ecosystem of the gut bacteria. So I think everything needs to be balanced. When you have a constipation, you have a problem. When you have diarrhea, you have a problem. When your poop is normal, you have no problem. Similarly, when you're urinating too much or not too little, you have a problem. But when you're urinating normally, you're normal. Same thing with the sweating. So all those things, they are put in a different way of understanding. Basically, the understanding was balanced. And when you have the balance, everything in the body is functioning at the best. So amla, yes, has shown phenomenally good results with the collagen. Actually, I wrote in my book about that one, too. If you go on Umbilica officinalis, Philanthus umbilica is another name for that one. And so amla, I use it in my practice. We have a preparation called Amla Plex, you know, and it's a kind of jam. The most common and famous product is Chyawanprash in the market. Mm. But, you know, a lot of not impurities in it. So when I designed it, I made it into a more cleaner product. And has a very phenomenally good success in the inflammatory diseases, in the people when they have antioxidant deficiencies, people have cancers. We get phenomenally good results with that.
So Amlaplex, the Chyawanprash, if people don't know, was almost like a thick applesauce type of preparation that combined herbs with spices. It's actually very delicious. I put it on crackers and things like that. So it's kind of food as medicine, I guess, was the philosophy then, right?
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, there is an interesting story behind that, Chyawanprash. So the story goes like this. There is a Ayurvedic doctor who is, very famous, and a king get sick, and this Ayurvedic doctor cures him, and as a gift, the king gives his young daughter to him as a wife. And this is an older Ayurvedic doctor. He said, what am I going to do with this young wife? So he makes this Chyawanprash with the amla and rejuvenate himself and becomes a younger. And so, you know, actually, is it a mythological story or is it a real story? I don't know about it, but you understand the meaning, because when you eat this Chyawanprash or the amla plex, you become younger and you're able to handle even a young bride.
So that's kind of, certainly in Ayurveda, part of the science is the science of longevity. We only have a few more minutes, but let's touch on that and talk about some of the herbs which and other things like Shilajit, which have been shown to actually turn the clock back. Not what's on your driver's license. You know, you're still gonna be born a certain day like that. But sort of where you look young. You know, like when people look at me, knock on wood, they say, "Where's your gray hair, doctors? You saw me a few weeks ago, 4 months ago."
Yes.
You know, I have some in my beard, but for mid 50s, not so bad. So I think, knock on wood, I'm aging probably appropriately. I could always do better. But I see people. You too. You look good too. And then I see people in their 50s and they look like 80. So what's the secret in Ayurveda?
So you know, the one of the we talked about specialty branches these days in our allopathic system, but there has been specialty branches. There was 8 branches starting from the origin, like medicine and surgery. We actually are the original surgeons of the world. We taught the rest of the world how to do surgeries, ENT, and one of this branch was rejuvenation branch, and then also virilification. Because, you know, if you, right now we talk about anti-aging movement and people are talking about hormones. Ayurvedic medicine has talked about the hormones for centuries. Mm. So phenomenally good herbs like ashwagandha have shown in the studies to restore the testosterone around 32%. And in my clinic, I take these people who have a testosterone in males around 200, and I make them back to 500 and 600 just using ashwagandha or combination of herbs like mukuna pururuns, which is another Ayurvedic herb. And then shatavari is especially for female hormone balancing. Shilajit, again, bumps up your testosterone around 30%. So if you use the combination of a good diet, which is lots of fruits and vegetables, a lot of greens, nuts and seeds, and proper amount of exercise, and especially weight-bearing exercise, your hormones become normalized. Actually, if you look at the pathways of cholesterol all the way to testosterone, estrogens, and all the different way, and you are pushing the lines if you're doing proper amount of exercise and eating proper amount of food with good amount of fat, which is a healthy fat, and these the supplements, especially ashwagandha, amla, yeah, shatavari, mukuna pururiens, they actually help to feed into the loops where they need to go. And these herbs has a very unique intelligence. They will sense what body needs to do it and convert them automatically. So I actually gave a lecture to my naturopathic colleagues, and there was around 105 doctors in that, and they were very surprised that when I was able to show those cases that how we are able to restore the hormones in the male and the females at the same time.
Well, you know, so, you have to do like all the things that we talked about, but then you also have to help change the mind, because
mind, exactly.
If people worry, they can actually squander and steal all the hard work that they're doing and then put it down that cortisol pathway. So I think Ayurvedic is so unique in that it offers a blueprint to change the mind, or at least, you know, kind of change the imbalances of the mind with meditation and mantra and other things, which we'll have you back maybe in a couple of weeks or months or whatever to talk maybe about more of the spiritual and mental aspects of Ayurveda. Maybe we'll just continue this whole unfolding of Ayurveda on the show. But I hear the music and we have to sign out. So again, what's your website, Dr. Sodhi?
It's www.ayurvedicscience.com, and the other one is www.ayush.com. Thank you very much, Dr. Z.
Nice to talk to you. And that does it for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Stay healthy, folks. Bye-bye.